Hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the headlines from around the world are as follows. Excavations on burial mounds continue in Kuwait. Turkey's underwater treasures are revealed near Izmir. American chili peppers were cultivated 6,000 years ago, and the origin of the Etruscan civilization may have been found. Native American claims for skeletal remains, the debate continues, and ancient tools show how chimps had their own Stone Age in Africa. Bronze Age studies will take place in both England and France. Winds also are ravaging a Neolithic village in Chile. And Italy will not split up the ancient lovers. More on from last week's story. A team of Kuwaiti archaeologists investigating an archaeological site in Sabah discovered pottery and two burial mounds, all dating back to the Bronze Age. This comes after archaeologists last year discovered a number of burial mounds, a vast majority of them dating back to the Bronze Age. The mounds found in Kuwait are similar to those that have been found in some of the other GCC countries, such as Saudi Arabia, Bahrain and Qatar. To a question as to whether the archaeological team would be able to excavate all the mounds discovered last year, given the fact that they only had three archaeologists that were taking part in the excavation work, the department commented that their team was determined to wrap up excavations on time and everybody is doing their bit to see to it that they meet the desired results. The sprawling archaeological site, located along the Sabah Highway, has an uneven, rocky surface. It is under constant surveillance by members of the National Council of Cultural and Arts. Archaeologists last year found human skeletal remains in three of the burial mounds, while some of the mounds contain pieces of pottery dating back to the Hellenistic period, as well as a large number of beads. The skeletal remains were later referred to Kuwait University for research purposes. The partially submerged Liman Tepe, a major early Bronze Age harbour town located on Izmir's Urla district in Turkey, possesses the world's oldest breakwater. Breakwaters are an important part of modern nautical life worldwide and are constructed on or near coastal areas as a defence from incoming waters, protecting ships as well as the land from harsh weather and high tides. The whole harbour complex is buried underwater today, and the aim is to uncover the complete port complex and settlement, which is hidden beneath the waves. Liman Tepe is a major prehistoric settlement that was inhabited from the Neolithic Age until the end of the Late Bronze Age, continuing into the Classical Age. The underwater work indicates that Liman Tepe has the world's oldest breakwater, which was built to block the strong north winds and is a natural part of the city wall. Excavations in the settlement focus on the early Bronze Age remains. The settlement was surrounded by a monumental city wall and consisted of two distinct areas, a downtown area and an acropolis, which included a palace-like structure representing political, economic and religious power. The most significant finding from last year was part of an anchor, which is made of wood and metal and indicates evidence of maritime activities. Hardly surprising there in a harbour. They had also previously unearthed a sunken ship found during excavations, and it is now ready to go on display at the Underwater Archaeology Museum to be opened later in the Urla district. Researchers report that across the Americas, chili peppers were cultivated and traded as early as 6,000 years ago, predating the invention of pottery in some areas of the Americas. The researchers analysed starch grains to trace the history of chili peppers in the Americas. When Europeans arrived in their area, chili peppers were among the most widespread of plants domesticated in the New World. However, the chronology and precise geography of their origins and the early dispersal had been very poorly understood. Tropical environments, where many chili varieties were first domesticated and then incorporated into the prehistoric farming systems, degrade most organic archaeological remains. Linda Perry of the Smithsonian Institute in Washington solved the problem of decaying vegetable matter, leaving scant evidence when she found that peppers could be identified from fossilized grains of starch. Starch grains from chili peppers were then found alongside the remnants of corn, yucca, squash, beans and palm fruit, suggesting that ancient recipes were designed with chili peppers in mind to give them a more palatable taste. The starch microfossils were found at seven sites dating from around 6,000 years ago, all the way up to European contact, and ranging from the Bahamas to southern Peru. It's impossible to identify with certainty the first ever spice sprinkled on a roasting haunch or thrown into the stew pot, but Wendy Applequist, an ethnobotanist from the Missouri Botanical Gardens, said that capers have been found at 10,000-year-old sites in Iran and Iraq, coriander at an 8,500-year-old site in Israel, and fenugreek in Syria's Tel Aswad, which is 9,000 years old. Hot stuff. One of anthropology's most enduring mysteries, the origins of the ancient Etruscan civilization, may finally have been solved by a study of cattle. This culturally distinct and technologically advanced civilization inhabited central Italy from about the 8th century BCE until it was assimilated into Roman culture around the end of the 4th century BCE. The origins of the Etruscans, with their own non-Indo-European language, have been debated by archaeologists, geneticists and linguists for centuries. Writing in the 5th century BCE, the ancient Greek historian Herodotus claimed that the Etruscans had arrived in Italy from Lydia, now called Anatolia in modern-day Turkey. To try and discover more about the Etruscans' movements, Marco Pellicer and colleagues have analysed mitochondrial DNA in modern herds of Bos Taurus cattle in the north, south and central regions of Italy. The genetic material is passed down the female line from mother to offspring. The team found that almost 60% of the mitochondrial DNA in cows in the central Tuscan region of the country, where the Etruscan civilization is thought to have arisen, was the same as that in cows from Anatolia and the Middle East. There was little or no genetic convergence between cows from the north and south of Italy and those from Turkey and the Middle East, the researchers say. Pellicer notes that no archaeological or genetic traces of Etruscan culture have been found elsewhere between Turkey and Italy. This, combined with the Etruscans' famed nautical prowess, leads them to conclude that the Etruscans and their cattle arrived in Italy by sea and not by land, all the way from Turkey. The case of Kennewick Man dragged through the US courts for years before Judge John Jeldricks found that he could not be defined as Native American under the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. A recent case regarding repatriation of even older remains and artifacts from Spirit Cave, Nevada, suggests that Kennewick Man case should be used as legal precedent and that the remains of Spirit Cave Man are not Native American. Four University of New Mexico anthropologists have written an article where they suggest that a precedent in Paleo-Indian human remains is inappropriate and unnecessary. They claim that each case is unique and that repatriation determination should be handled on a case-by-case basis. Spirit Caveman was found approximately 70 years ago on Bureau of Land Management land that is part of an area government documents refer to as traditional tribal lands. Nevertheless, the Bureau of Land Management says the remains are unaffiliatable. The Fallon Paiute Shoshone filed a lawsuit against the BLM because they consider him to be an ancestor. Carbon dating determined him to be actually older than Kennewick Man, and DNA testing on both skeletons was inconclusive. DNA testing is one predetermination for affiliation. Another way is by what artifacts are found with the remains. Skeletal remains and one projectile point in the hip is all that was found of Kennewick Man, while many artifacts were found with a spirit caveman because of the arid condition in and around the cave. There were blankets, a burial shroud, bags, moccasin, and a breech cloth. The items are now on display at the Nevada State Museum. Repatriation is moving away from being a polarizing issue, though, and we have to balance between respect for the profession and for the past. The first prehistoric evidence for a chimpanzee stone age has been uncovered by archaeologists working in an African rainforest. Primitive stone hammers and anvils dating from 4,300 years ago were excavated from pits at three sites on the Ivory Coast. The tools, used to crush and crack food, are too large for humans to have wielded with ease, and they show traces of starch from varieties of nuts that were the staples of the chimp diet but avoided by humans. The discovery suggests that from ancient times, chimpanzees used rudimentary technology and handed the skills down to later generations. The floodplain where the stone fragments were uncovered was not widely occupied by humans at the time, leading the researchers to suspect that early tool use was not learned from humans, but may have been passed on to chimps and humans alike from a more primitive ancestor. The researchers believe the intact tools would have ranged from less than 200 grams to nearly 7 kilograms. Some nuts required a force of more than a ton to crack them open, and a more complex and subtle technique was needed to do so without destroying the nut inside, than simply smashing the nut between two rocks. So this also involves a process of thought. Hugh Barton, a co-author of the study at Leicester University, said the findings raised the tantalising suggestion that tool use amongst chimpanzees may have progressed, at least for a while, in parallel with human usage. East Sussex County Council in England has joined up with French heritage chiefs to teach children on both sides of the Channel about the Bronze Age. 25 volunteers are being recruited to build life-size recreations of housing from the period as part of a new project called Common Roots of European Culture. The two-year project, which is part financed by the European Union, will give about 400 schoolchildren from East Sussex the chance to learn about that famous period of history by visiting the buildings at Bentley and Mitchelham Priory near Hallisham. It's being run on this side of the Channel by East Sussex Archaeology and Museums Partnership with the County Council and the Sussex Archaeology Society. As part of the same project, ASNAPIO, a Northern French heritage organisation based at Lille, will be running a range of public events over the Channel, as well as educational sessions for schools and reconstructions of ancient buildings. In the first initiative, ASNAPIO is inviting Sussex families to visit its archaeological park in France on Sunday, the April the 15th, when the organisation is launching its new season. Deep within the windswept Atacama Desert in northern Chile, the remnants of a forgotten civilization arise from the sand. Where the sand has been stripped away, circular clay structures can be clearly seen. These are the 3,000-year-old remains of Tulor, one of the oldest and best-preserved Neolithic villages in South America. The ruins consist of two-roomed houses, a cemetery, and stables. They were inhabited as far back as 800 BCE. Archaeologists say Tulor's inhabitants raised cattle, grew maize by the side of a river, and had trading relationships with communities as far away as present-day Ecuador and Brazil. But a natural climate change around 300 CE caused the river to dry up, and within a few hundred years the village was abandoned. Once deserted, the sand moved in and covered the village in dunes, protecting it for nearly three millennia until it was discovered and partially unearthed in 1958. But now, half a century later, the sand that once protected the village is destroying it. Harsh desert winds and occasional rain are threatening to reduce the site to nothing. The World Monument Fund, that surveys important archaeological finds around the world, say no conservation work has taken place in the area for over 20 years. The erosion is so serious that the fund has placed the village on its watch list of endangered sites. Since 1998, the village has been managed by an indigenous community in Coyo, 2 kilometres from the ruins, which has built a protective boardwalk around them and trained guides to lead tourists without causing further damage. The community says it needs more money to stop the erosion and has appealed to Chile's Council of National Monuments. But the state-funded council, whilst recognising Tulor as a heritage site, says it cannot help. There's just not the money. Simple as that, is what they're saying. Those campaigning to save the site say the local communities in Coyo and San Pedro de Atacama depend upon the income generated by Tulor's visitors. A wall is the best way to protect the site, and they're working with the local architect to get one built. This would channel the wind over the top of the ruins, reducing the erosion. Tarpaulins could also be attached to the wall to cover the site during rainfall. And finally, following on from last week's report on the lovers of Valdaro, you'll be glad to hear the following. Italian scientists say they are determined to remove and preserve together the remains of a couple buried 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, their arms still wrapped around each other in an enduring embrace. Instead of removing the bones one by one for reassembly later, the archaeologists plan to scoop up the entire section of earth where the couple were buried. The plot will then be transported for study before being put on display in an Italian museum, thereby preserving the world's longest known hug for posterity. Archaeologist Elena Menotti, who announced the discovery a week ago, said that they want to keep them just as they are, together. Their removal will be a relief for archaeologists who have had to hire extra security to guard the rural site outside the northern city of Mantova after the discovery made them world headline news. Can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. Remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. While you're at it, why not pop along to Past Horizons, which now has over 320 volunteer opportunities across the world. That was www.pasthorizons.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week.